Take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, chapter 4, as we began our year together, and the assemblies of God, for the last many, many decades, they've already started out our year with a week of prayer. And so our theme for this year is praying with confidence. And I believe that God wants you to know how to face this new year that is before us with confidence. And I believe that God has a path for each and every one of us. And friends, following after God, that's an exciting way to live life. And to realize He's going to lead us and guide us, and that we can pray and pray with confidence as we face this new year. Hebrews chapter 4, starting with verse 14. It says, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in the time of need." Look at verse 16 one more time. It's going to be our text. "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Now, I want you to consider with me this morning the most incredible power in this entire universe. This power is not atomic, it is not economic, nor is it political. This power has literally altered the course of world history more times than historians will ever know. This power has set entire nations free from subjugation and from tyranny. This power has healed the terminally ill. This power has raised the dead back to life. This power has provided hope for the hopeless. This miraculous power has conquered anxiety, depression, and has even set the prisoner free from the prison cells. And friends, that is only to scratch the surface of what this power has done. This power of which I speak this morning is the power of prayer. No wonder Jesus tells us then in Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, men ought to always pray and not give up. So the Bible says, rather than going around biting our nails, being worried and fretting about tomorrow, what we ought to be doing is men ought to pray always and then never give up. No matter what your circumstance or situation is this morning, no matter what you faced in the past year, I want you to face it with a confidence, knowing that God has a plan for you. Don't give up. Don't give in. Give it to God and let God bring a victory for you in this year. Amen? And I believe that's the exciting year that God has in storage for you. Let me talk about the marvel of prayer for just a moment. You know, we live our lives surrounded by what I would say are many, many marvels of life. Marvels of technology. It amazes me, a simple television, how it can send, you know, through the air unseen waves. A television receiver can receive, and you can see and hear a visual picture. It's amazing to me. It's a marvel. Or consider a radio or a cell phone, automobiles, airplanes, subway systems. We live our lives surrounded by everyday miracles, everyday marvels of technology. But also there are marvels in medicine. I'm amazed how they can do heart transplants, how they can replace a broken hip with an artificial joint or knee replacement, cochlear implants for those that are deaf. There is simply no doubt about it. This world is filled with mind-boggling marvels. However, to me, there is a marvel that excels way above all others, and it's the marvel of prayer. I want you to think about it for just a moment with me this morning. Through the marvel of prayer, we have access to the throne room of the universe. Through the marvel of prayer and the blood of Jesus Christ, the Bible says we can come confidently, we can come boldly to the throne of God's grace. Historically, when you think about it, Historically, a king's throne room has been the most guarded, protected real estate in the entire world. If there would be a place that is protected and where riffraff is kept out, a place where the commoner is not allowed to come, that would be the throne rooms of monarchs throughout the ages. I was thinking this morning, and my son John says I've gotten way too much good out of this story. But he was just a wee little guy, and we were traveling, visiting relatives in Norway, and we went over to Denmark, and while in Denmark, we went to the palace in Denmark, and I'm walking about this wonderful palace, and as I'm walking about, I'm noticing, you know, there's all kinds of pictures on the walls and, you know, art from around the world, and I'm just kind of amazed at all of this, and I kind of lost track of where my son John was at that time. And so I'm over there and I'm watching, you know, some presentation that was rather interesting about the castle and about the life in that particular palace and all of that, when suddenly the alarms went off all over in that building. And guards are running. Now you have to imagine with me for a moment, this throne room, therefore the king or queen, whichever it may be, a monarch, whatever is on the throne at that particular time in Denmark, there's two big silver, solid, you know, lions on both sides that represent the protection of the throne. And there is electronic equipment everywhere. And this is all going off. And I'm over there looking at, you know, some of the pictures on the walls and listening to some of the presentations. And I mean, there's a stir of no small order that's going on. I come to find out my son John had gone into the throne room, and not only was he in the throne room, he was sitting on the throne of Denmark. And they came by and they said to me, "Whose kid is that?" And I said, "I've never seen him before in my life." Throne rooms have been some of the most protected places then throughout all of time. To enter at will, especially during the time of the scriptures, Old Testament, New Testament alike, during that time period in world history, to enter into the throne room uninvited meant certain death. Remember Queen Esther. Queen Esther, she dared to go into see King Xerxes, which was her husband, by the way. And she was going in to plead the case of the Jewish people. And as she went to the door of the throne room, the Bible is very clear when you read this account, she waits there, even though Xerxes is her husband. And even though she is the queen of the nation, she has no access to the throne room unless she is invited. And especially during this time when she is pleading the case of the Jewish people and she is now standing at the door. All it would take is the king to say, "Death." And they would have taken her out and they would have killed her immediately. Even though, remember now, this is king and queen. Queen has no access to the throne room unless invited. And so Xerxes takes the scepter, and he takes the scepter and leans it towards his wife, Esther. And at that moment, Esther knew that she was now allowed to come into the throne room. I say that just so you understand, this business about having access to the throne room of heaven is an amazing thing when you understand how thrones have been protected throughout time. How grateful I am this morning for heaven's open door policy. We can come into the throne room at will. We can come as often as we like. We can come into the throne room of God with our prayers, our prayer requests, our concerns, our anxieties, our worries, our frets. We can do so dozens of times throughout the day and never to be seen as though we're a pest. Not only that, we can stay as long as we like. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has declared we are welcome in his throne room. I simply marvel then at the privileged access we have, that we have audience with the Creator of all things, The one that by his word spoke this world into existence and the stars and the moon and the galaxies that surround. The one who said, let there be light, and there was light. The very one who took the dust from the ground and formed and shaped Adam and then put the breath of life within his soul. Yes, dear friends, we get to talk to our Creator. We get to talk to God himself. What a marvel. What a marvel it is we get to dump all of our cares upon him at his invitation. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm sure that you would be no different than I am. I have people in my life that love to dump. They like to dump on you. I mean, if it's a bad day, it's just, you know, it's like somebody almost, you know, throwing up on you. I've told my staff at times, you know, people come into my office and it's as though they come in and they put a dirty diaper on my desk and they expect me to make a beautiful baby out of it in 20 minutes. Well, you can only do so much with a dirty diaper, amen? All right. So, with that in mind, we all have someone that comes and just kind of leaves the dirty diaper with us, kind of abandons the problem, just kind of vents. There's all kinds of terms to be used for somebody that dumps. And most of the time, we get tired of it. Most of the time, we put up with it for a while. And then after a while, it's kind of like, listen, we've got to have some boundaries here. We need to understand the rules of engagement. You just can't come in anytime you want into my home, into my house, into my life, and just dump all your garbage on me. And we all have those individuals, and we know how it feels. But I need for you to understand this morning, God says, come into the throne room anytime you like, and you can come and you can dump on me. Now, friends, that's mighty good. That is a mighty good God that, number one, allows us to come anytime we want, uninvited at a specific moment, realizing he has made an invitation for all time, for all of his people. And the Bible tells us in Matthew 11 and verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That word come, that's an interesting word from the King of Kings. Most kings, most people, they're in positions of authority, and those that have great power and exercise great power, those individuals, generally, they've got a space. You come only so close. Notice when the president comes into a community, there's always a line there. It may be a physical line, but there's always a line there. You only come so close until there's going to be intervention because they do not trust everyone. God trusts you. God loves you. God says, you can come into my throne room anytime you want. Come. That is the voice of God. And this is the voice of God during this generation and during this time. We are to come to him. But there'll be a time, if we refuse to come, when he calls come, that he'll have to say go. And when he says go, depart, I know you not. You're a worker of iniquity. It will not be a time where you'll be able to make an appeal to a higher cause or a higher person or a higher court in that moment. But now he says, come unto me. Matter of fact, it tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, casting all of your care upon him. You might use the word there, come, dump all of your care upon him, for he cares for you. First marvel of prayer is the marvel of access. The marvel that God says, man, if you're having a bad day, you come just dump it all out of me. I have big, broad shoulders that hold this entire universe together, and you'll never bring a problem to me that'll be too big. You come. Aren't you glad for that invitation? Amen? So the marvel of prayer. Let's talk about the miracle of prayer for a moment. You see, prayer has miraculous power. The supernatural is natural for God. The miraculous is the norm for God. These things are in this world called supernatural. But I want you to understand the supernatural is absolutely natural for the God that we love and the God that created us. Scripture is filled with exciting accounts that give us just a little bit of a glimpse or an insight into what the power of prayer can do. Now, I'm going to give you two of them, two that are phenomenal, two that science has not been able to figure out, two that many that have wanted to debunk God have greatly assailed against these two miraculous events that actually are recorded in world history. The first is found in 2 Kings chapter 20. Hezekiah was told by Isaiah the prophet, you need to get your house in order. You're going to die. Now, I don't know about you, but if I had a prophet come to my door and say, you need to get things ready, you're going to die, I'm not sure that I would like that. I'm not sure that I would say that's a great way to start out 2017 on the first day. Well, that was the message of Isaiah to King Hezekiah. And Hezekiah began to seek the Lord and began to cry out to God, God, spare my life. I believe there's still much more that can be done and should be done through my life. God, if you will give me time, I will give you my life and I'll use it for you and for your glory. Isaiah began to walk away after having given him the message, it's time for you to get your house in order, you're going to die. And God spoke to Isaiah and said, go back to him and tell him, I've heard his cry, I've heard his prayer, and I'm going to extend his life by 15 years. And so he goes back, Isaiah, and he tells King Hezekiah, God has heard your prayer, and he's going to extend your life. And he's going to give you an opportunity. He's going to prove this to you. And you can either ask God one of two things. You can either ask him to remove the sun back 10 degrees or to move the sun forward 10 degrees. Now, this is probably in the best thought in the context of a sundial. And a sundial having the degrees of 360 degrees. So in that period of time, he says, here's what's going to happen. You can either choose to have the sun go back 10 degrees or forward 10 degrees. Which do you want? Well, Hezekiah, he's a brilliant guy, and he thinks to himself real quick like, you know, for it to go forward, that's the natural thing to happen. That's the natural thing. As the day goes on, the sun is going to go forward by degree by degree. So, God, if you are really going to give me life like you promised, I want to go back 10 degrees. Well, that's an amazing thing. 10 degrees would be approximately 40 minutes. And so there's going to be an extension of about 40 minutes of time. Time is going to freeze for that period of time in a unique way. And it's going to be proof that God is going to answer his prayer. Scientists have tried to figure this out. Let me give you one other example, and then I'll tie it together with how this has been a global thing. In Joshua chapter 10, Joshua, of course, we know to be one of the commanders of God's armies, of the troops of Israel. They were in a very, very strong and harsh battle. And in the midst of it, the sun started to go down. And Joshua asked the Lord, Lord, if you will stop the sun, if you will give us 24 more hours of sunlight, we can take and whoop this thing and we'll be done. And God answered his prayer. And the Bible tells us he added about another full day of sunlight. And during that time, Joshua and the troops, they absolutely obliterated the armies that were against the children of Israel. Now, historians in China, in Mexico, amongst the Aztecs, in Ecuador, amongst the Peruvians, amongst the Babylonians, amongst many other nations of the world, they all have accounts in their history that one day there was this long, long double day. Now, here's what some experienced. If you look at the land of Israel, and in the land of Israel, 24 additional hours of sunlight would mean that on another part of the world, they would experience 24 hours of additional what? Darkness. And that is exactly what is recorded. You see, some things, friends, cannot be proven scientifically. Matter of fact, if you can prove a miracle scientifically and all the methodology that God uses, it is very likely from that moment on that you'd explain it, that it no longer is a miracle. And so, In cases like that, where you can't prove them scientifically, many times we can prove them historically, that it's recorded in cultures all around the world. The same would be true with the worldwide flood. Every single culture has some kind of a story, some kind of account of a cataclysmic flood that literally covered the world. And so in this particular case, God, in an answer to prayer, he gave them the time they needed in order to be an overcomer over the enemies of Israel. And God gave them extra time. How God did it? What methodology? Did God stop the earth in its rotation? On the other account, did God turn the rotation of the earth backwards 10 degrees? Did he cause the sun to take some unique path for those moments or hours? What took place, we do not know. But this we do know. God answered prayer. And when God answers prayer, you'll be scratching your head until the cows come home to figure out how he did it. And it's more important to give thanks to the one that brings the miracle than try to figure it all out and debunk it and say, it's just a quirk. It's just one of those things that would have happened anyway. You know, they try to say that about walking across the Jordan River on dry land. They say there was a earthquake and that the earthquake caused dirt to fall down the mountain into the Jordan River. It blocked the Jordan River off and they went across on dry ground. Well, if you have an earthquake that comes just at the time you need it and it fills the river that you need to cross over, I think that's still pretty good to thank God for. Amen? So prayer then has healed the sick. It has raised the dead. It has opened and shut the heavens from rain. But to me, the greatest miracle of all about prayer is not the things that can be accomplished through prayer, but how it changes our relationship. It's relational. Prayer changes me. There was a great violinist by the name of Fritz Kreisler. Fritz Kreisler said this. He said, if I do not practice my violin for one day, I can tell the difference. I mean, this guy's world known. Everyone, knows his skill sets, his ability. He said, if I don't practice my violin for one day, I can tell the difference. Day two, my closest friends and associates, they can tell the difference. Day three, the world will know that Fritz Kreisler is now slipping and he's not the musician that he once was. I was challenged to put that into the context of prayer and how in prayer, day one, I can tell the difference, can't you? I mean, day one, I know there's something. It's like, a tire that's, it's not totally flat, but it's not, full and robust. My life is just, I can sense it. I can tell it. Day two, my wife and my kids and the people I work with in the office, they'll tell. Day three, and the world will know. They don't have to be in my life. They don't have to be anyone special in my acquaintances. My life in 3 days will take on a different tone and a different direction. In Africa, there was a story that was told of a tribe that they built right in the middle, and this is such a neat story, I think. They built right in the middle of their little village, in their little compound, a hut. And that hut was the place that you would go to seek God and to pray. And all of their huts were built on the outside ring round about that prayer hut. And because people were faithfully going back and forth to that hut for prayer, it literally wore, the grass down to nothing. It was just a dirt trail. And here's what they would say to one another. Brother, your grass is growing. It was a way of saying to them, you're not praying like you once did. You're not seeking the face of God the way you once were. Friends, let me just tell you, in the year 2017, if we want to be what God wants us to be, and if we want to experience what God wants us to experience, I want you to understand that prayer is the key. God can do anything that we ask. God is mighty. God is powerful. He's proven himself out time and time again. And so whatever you are facing this morning, prayer is the answer. Whether it's your health or your habits, your marriage, your family, your job, your finances, your worries, your frets, whatever it is in your life, prayer is the key to your miracle in the year of 2017. Now let me talk. Yes, let's give God praise for that. Now let me talk about the mystery of prayer. You know, when I say the mystery of prayer, you know, you're probably thinking now, okay, he's going to give us some real ethereal insights about prayer. Here's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about if we know that prayer is that vital to our personal relationship, that it's that important in our marriage, it's that important in the raising of our families, it's that important at our job and our performance. The mystery of it all is, why do we pray so little? As Christians nationwide, they've discovered that the average is about 5 minutes per day. That's about all the average American prays. Now, put that in context. You work 40 hours a week, some of you as many as 80. I know one in our congregation, I feel so bad. They're working two full-time jobs and one part-time job. That's about 90 to 100 hours per week. Let me tell you, 5 minutes a day is not going to suffice for balancing out all the hours you're spending at the job. You know, we can spend without blinking an eye 3 hours watching a football game. And I'm not down on football game. I enjoy, especially last Sunday nights, I enjoyed it. All of these things, I mean, I'm not down here trying to pound on anyone. I'm trying to tell you that why is it, the mystery to me is, if we know that this is what it's going to take to get really moving forward in our Christian lives. You know, someone has said, if we always do what we've always done, we'll always have what we've always had. They're simply saying you need to, rather than complain and just try the same old thing over and over. Matter of fact, they say insanity is doing the same thing over and over and wishing and hoping for a different outcome. And so in this year of 2017, the challenge is let's be men and women that really seek the face of God. It will shape us, and it'll do more than you can ever imagine. You see, prayer, it gives us a little bit of a glimpse into the life of an individual. It really does. You know, I'm so blessed with our three grandchildren. Krista right now, which is John and Joni's oldest, she's just turned 4, and Krista loves to pray now. And to listen to her pray, you know, what I sense when I hear her praying, oh, it's, you know, sometimes, you know, it's like a 4-year-old's prayer, and it'll go into, you know, a whole lot of other things. But what I can sense is like a window. Prayer is like a window into the soul of men and women. And it's a picture of our own. We can look and we can get a good grasp on where are we at spiritually. And we can grab and get a hold of where are others in our lives and our families? Where are they at spiritually? It's like a window. I was blessed to be raised next door to a man that would pray all day long. I'd get up in the morning, Joseph Wanamaker. Joseph, when I would go in the morning, I'd leave the house. We lived in a side-by-side duplex. And when I'd leave in the morning, he'd be out there with Grandma Wanamaker, both of them in their high 80s, and he'd be strumming the guitar, and they'd be singing. And sometimes, you know, you just feel the glory of God when you walk by their half of the house. It was miraculous. But I would always, on Saturday nights, have a prayer time with Pastor Joseph. And boy, I tell you, I learned more listening to this man pray than I learned in 4 years in college. What makes this guy tick? What is it that sets him apart from so many others? It was his prayer life. Or to listen to others in the prayer room. You know, when you listen to someone pray, like, you know, I was thinking of Bob Zahn. I was thinking of, You know, some of the others here from our congregation that have gone on to glory by now, I've listened to them pray, and you knew just by listening to their prayer life, you knew what kind of relationship they had with God. So our prayer life, as much as we like to believe it's kind of a personal thing, it's really our most, you know, public thing. Because what happens when we're alone with God is going to affect our family, then it's going to affect those that we are in contact with daily at the job and everywhere else, and it's going to affect all of these areas of life. So this business of the mystery, why is it then that we pray so little? You know, some say, well, God doesn't hear me anyway. You know what the Bible tells us in 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 12? And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, how many feel like many times is that night that you got the greatest conversations with God? Times when you'd like to be sleeping. I mean, you really wish to be sleeping. But it's during those moments that God shows up. And it says here, Solomon, and the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him. It's probably because he was too busy during the day. And so he says to him, I have what? I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself and in the house of sacrifice. What are you saying? I've heard your prayer. You wanted to build a temple, a place to honor me. And I've heard your prayer. In Psalm 6 and verse 9, the Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Friends, I want you to know God does the miraculous when we just simply begin to trust him. God hears us when we pray. You know, there are others that would try to say, well, you know, I can handle this without God. I don't need God's help on this. I'm not going to bother heaven for this. You know, the things we don't go to God with are the things we mess up the quickest. I mean, we just make a royal mess out of things. Here's what the Bible tells us in Philippians 4 and verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I love the way the Living Bible reads on this. The Living Bible says it this way. This is the translation I love the best on that verse. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. You know, once you've prayed, and you've prayed with confidence, you've been invited into the very throne room of God. Where other throne rooms try to keep people out, he says, come, come, cast all of your cares upon me. You can dump on me whatever it is in life that's bothering you. Don't try to handle it on your own, but just allow me to come alongside of you, and I'll lead you, and I'll direct you, and I'll bless your life. There are others that say, well, I don't have time to pray. You know, when you fail to pray, here's what happens. It leaves all the weight of life squarely on our own shoulders. When we try to leave God out and say, God, I'm going to handle this on my own. When we try to do that, we're really, in that moment, we're putting ourselves up in a position for absolute failure. You were designed and created by God to have a relationship with him. And unless you're living in that relationship with God, you're trying to carry what God was going to carry for you on your own. And when you try to carry all the nicks and dings of life, all the little things that go wrong, including all your hopes and dreams that now you've almost given up on, all of this stuff, you try to handle it all on your own, you're going to break down under the load. You are never designed by God to do that. No more than I was watching a guy one day try to haul about a yard and a half of gravel on his snowmobile trailer. Now, those of you that know anything about a snowmobile trailer, they're probably set up for about 900 pounds. Jesse, I don't have any idea how much that thing weighed, but I'll tell you what. When I came by, the axles, both the tires are broke off. They're dragging it off to the side of the road. The gravel that they thought they were bringing home never made it there, not on that trailer, because it all busted. It was not designed for that kind of weight. You are not designed. You need to remember, you were created. You did not crawl out from under a rock or from some pond. There's a divine design to your life. And when God designed you, He designed you so that life only operates at its fullest potential when you are living it in relationship with God. And in those moments, he says to us, listen, I realize it's a heavy load. You don't have to carry it. I'll carry the load for you. You're concerned about loved ones, keeping you up at night. You're filled with anxiety. You don't know what tomorrow holds. Job may be here today, gone tomorrow. He said, I want you to know, I am with you always, and I'll never forsake you. All of that comes out of prayer. So the mystery of prayer then is, why do we pray so little? When we know full well, it's the answer to less stress and to a much happier and more fulfilled life than we've ever experienced. I love the words to the song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Just listen to these words. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are you weak and heavy laden, cumbered with the load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do your friends despise, forsake you? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms, he'll take and shield you. You will find a solace there. On this first day of this brand new year, matter of fact, we're less than 12 hours into, we're 11 hours and 44 minutes into a brand new year. Some of you are saying, you know, I can't do 17 like I did 16. Some of you are saying, I don't have it in me. I can't do this again. Your hearts are broken over situations. You've carried heavy loads of life and you're saying something's got to change. I can't take another year in my marriage like this. And I know that walking out is not God's plan, but God, I can't take this any longer either. And in this room right now, there are people of every age, of every stage of life, and you're saying, I can't carry this load anymore. And here's the good news. He's saying, come, the door's open. Come and dump it on me. And this morning, whatever you're carrying, I want to close this service. This is going to be your moment. When you rise up from where you're seated and you walk to this altar, you're saying, Lord, I'm coming to the throne room. I'm so glad that it's open. And I come, and I'm going to do some dumping. God, I've got some junk. I'm coming from all over this room as they begin to sing. I want you just to come just right now. Spend a few moments with God. That thing, you bring it to him.